I'll find that shit. Yeah. Batman's on the case.
Welcome to Geeks Without God with Molly Glover, Nick Glover, and Tim Wick.
We're geeks without God. We're geeks without God. We don't recognize moral authority. We don't accept divine superiority. We're geeks without God.
This week on Geeks Without God, we speak with my cousin, Andrew Hackard, the Munchkin Czar. We talk about board games, and the three of us answer Andrew's five questions.
We're geeks without God. We're geeks without God. We're geeks without God.
Welcome to Geeks Without God. I am your host, Molly Glover, and as always, I am Joan... Oh, fuck. I'm going to start over. For real. Can I start over?
You can start over. You're all allowed.
Right. Good Lord. It's been a while since we've recorded, I'm realizing.
Yeah, a week and a half or something.
Has it only been a week and a half?
Yeah, it was last Tuesday.
No. Oh, my God. All right. Shut up. All right. Everyone get out of your system. Welcome to Geeks Without God. I am your host, Molly Glover, and with me, as always, is my co-host, my husband, Nick Glover.
Hi.
And Tim Wick.
Her not husband.
Not my husband, but our dear friend.
That's the next one.
But Tim, the important thing to know is you and I is.
We is.
And, shut up. We are joined by my cousin, Andrew Hackard.
Hi, guys. Hey.
Andrew is here all the way from Austin, Texas, and...
Up on vacation enjoying the wonderful Minnesota spring weather.
it's a week of rain.
It's great. It's really great.
So, Andrew...
Take out the tea. Just like, it's really gray.
It's really gray.
Andrew, why don't you tell us a little bit about yourself and just kind of like what brought you to want to be on our podcast?
Well, your credentials.
Prove who you are. I grew up in San Antonio, Texas. I live in Austin now. I work for Steve Jackson Games, working on the Munchkin line, and have the best job title in the universe of Munchkin Czar.
I love that.
That is a good job title.
Literally on his business cards.
Wow. And I've been listening to the podcast since the very beginning because of Molly.
Aww.
My dear cousin.
Of Molly.
Yeah.
Not.
No, oh, we all know that everybody's listening
not
because
the
of
is.
You, Molly.
That's why he started listening to it. But he keeps listening to it because of me and Tim.
True fact. So,
that's fair.
So, but yeah, and I was going to be in the area, and I said, well, I can't be in the area and not do a podcast.
That is a really good point.
I believe so, there are laws about that.
Yeah. So you're an atheist, and are you out professionally? Are you out personally? Like,
it's in Austin, it's really not a huge deal. Most of my friends, at the very least, are sympathetic to atheists, non-believers. Mm-hmm. Family is a little tougher. Several of my family members are very devout, and it just
yes,
is something that I choose not to bring up.
So yeah. Very devout. Can I ask what denomination?
Various Christian. I was raised Methodist. Mm-hmm. So that's...
And it seems like the people who are a little more devout are almost in a born-again kind of...
That's very true.
My
whole immediate family, kind of when I was early teens up through college, was sort of a, yeah, we believe that we're not doing church and all that stuff.
Right.
And in the past 10 years or so, some of them have really swung the other direction.
Yeah. I don't know if you care if I say, like your sister has really gotten into the whole, like, save me, Jesus, help me, Jesus, like, walk with me, Jesus, through this valley.
Her Facebook's an interesting read.
Yeah. I had to hide her.
Did something trigger the change? Like, was there a tragedy or a death or...
Not that I
know
of.
One person's evangelism spread to the others? It just kind of happened.
I think it just kind of happened.
That's so weird.
Well, Texas living, do they live in Austin with you?
No, my parents are still in San Antonio. My sister's in Dallas.
Okay.
But I don't know that Dallas is like a hotbed of...
Well, it's a really big city, so...
It is.
It's no Austin. Yeah. I mean, you know.
Austin's awesome, by the way. I go to Austin a lot. I love Austin. The last time I was there, we were going to maybe try and hook up, but I was only there for like 48 hours.
Right.
Yeah.
But maybe this next year.
24 of them you were in a theater. So.
Yeah.
Well, so Andrew came to the offices, FFG today, you know, to say, and had lunch with Jeremy Stomberg. And
as the charter requires, we now mention Jeremy.
Yes, thank yes. And he actually was demonstrating to me on a wall, like a map of Austin with like his arms, and explaining to me why the toll road and like all this stuff. And people walk by and they're like, what is going on? I'm like, Jeremy's trying to make a point. And everyone just went, oh, and kept going. Yeah, it was super funny. I believe there was some wall humping. I don't know. I kind of blacked it out, but
that's probably for the
best. Yeah, yeah, sounds accurate.
So, all right. So you're not. I mean, and at work, would you say? I mean, are you out at work?
It really doesn't matter. It
doesn't come up.
No.
It's Steve Jackson game. So it's like you're not a like Discordian Illuminatus. Like, you're fired. Like
that's true. Do you guys get religious holidays off at all at Steve Jackson? Like,
well,
we don't.
I mean, Christmas. But...
Well, sure, that isn't. Christmas is a secular holiday.
Yes.
Yeah.
So no, it's we
no
don't.
Good Friday or anything
well,
like
we're
that.
Well, most of us are on a 4-day week, so we get Good Friday off by default.
Oh.
Oh.
Man, that's awesome.
4-day week.
I would love that.
God damn it!
10 hours a day.
And get
that would
a
be
job
great.
Where he works.
So yeah, but it's 10 to 12 hour days.
Yeah.
Well, whatever.
Yeah, that's I like that because I think a lot of people. You know, a lot of workplaces, it feels like you almost have to be out because they are freaking out and, like, there's always that religious person going around. But we don't have that. Yeah. And I'm thinking maybe at jobs that are, you know, geek heavy, like, actually geek heavy, not like Nick's job where it's actually rednecks more than geeks, but, like, jobs that are, you know, in the gaming industry and other
our
industries.
Our variety of
yeah, yeah, I wonder if that's just something that's, you know, it's crossed my mind anytime I've thought about leaving FFG that it would be very... I would have to really pick and choose. Well,
it's not an issue where I work because it's such a big fucking corporation.
Mm.
They've just got it set in stone and they've got it covered in such a manner where it's like, no one could possibly be offended by the days we've offered off.
Sure.
Because we're a huge fucking corporation. So, and then everyone gets a few floating holidays.
Yeah.
Which are, instead of giving specific religious holidays off, everyone gets their... floating holidays off yeah. to get those days
I
off.
I had a previous job where they offered floating holidays, and it was, if you want to take a Good Friday, use one of your floating holidays.
Sure.
It's yeah. fine.
I remember when you worked for the Big Green Butthole, Nick, that they gave you Good Friday off, and it was like, it was when it switched
yeah.
from Quest
yep.
to CenturyLink.
Because
all of a sudden you had Good Friday off, and
CenturyLink
you were like, sucker.
CenturyLink is a southern company based in Louisiana.
Yep.
It's a totally different culture, and the way they operate with religious holidays is, I mean, they're very included in their calendar,
yeah,
specifically.
Yeah.
Like Yom Kippur, do they include...
Oh, no, I'm sorry. When I say religious holidays, I mean Christian holidays. Yeah.
My favorite... Okay, so when
it's
I worked
Louisiana
at... Town. When I worked at Shop NBC, when I worked
sorry,
at Shop NBC...
Sorry,
she
was in Louisiana.
I was, God, like 22, and my hair was a little bit darker brown, and I wore it with its natural curl more often, and if you've met me, this will be important, so... Or if you've seen pictures of me. So I'm sitting at my desk, and my manager comes up, and it's October, and she comes up, and she's very like, are you, will you be needing to have Tuesday off? And I thought to myself, I said, yes. And she's like, oh, I thought so because it's Yom Kippur. And she like whispered, Yom Kippur. And I was like, oh. And then I'm like, wait, what? And then I thought, oh shit, she thinks I'm Jewish because I have kind of a larger nose and curly brown hair. I don't know. I mean, that's
yeah,
the only
all
thing
Jews
I could. That's the only thing I could
hair.
Think of. Why else would she think I was there? I can't
and
think of any other reason.
Right, right.
And I've been told. I've had people. I am. I've had people before tell me I look like Barbara Streisand. That's the only other thing I could think of. So I was
and
just
Barbara
like,
Barbara Streisand's a Jew.
She is
so,
definitely Jewish.
Yeah.
What?
Yeah.
Since
yeah.
when?
But do you since sing forever. Barbara Streisand?
I well, not like her because I'm actually like you know rock and roll. No, but I. So it was just. But it was so funny. And I said yes, and I took off, and I took every Jewish holiday off the rest of the time I was there.
Well, why wouldn't you?
Right? I didn't get paid for them, but like it was a free day off with no penalties. So
yeah.
it was
yeah.
just amazing.
So you gamed the system.
I did. By her own idiotic anti-Semitism, I guess. I mean, I don't know. It's...
Yeah.
Yeah.
Stereotypes are always
was,
bad boys
she was,
and girls.
She was being pro-Semitism.
She probably thinks she was.
I know.
She, okay, you could say she was trying to be culturally sensitive.
Yes, but see, is
if
it...
If you're trying to be culturally sensitive, what she should have said is, excuse me, I'm not sure, are you Jewish?
Yeah.
And then Molly would have answered, why, no, I'm not. And then it would have been done. But yes. No, she's like,
well, even more culturally sensitive would have been, just to let you know, if you need any days off next week, let me know.
Here's the question. It's like, so if I'm trying very hard to address the women in my company as a man, and I really want to make sure that their needs are being met, and I say to them, if any of you women need any tampons or Advil or other stuff that you need when you guys get your periods, I want to make sure you know we've got chocolate and movies, and we're going to let you take a day off when you get your lady troubles, because I know that that overwhelms you, and it's hard to work. Now, that seems very proactive, and I'm helping women, but it's super sexist. Yeah.
You have good intentions, of course.
So I, speaking of addressing the needs of your employees.
Wow.
Since Hack and I both work for game companies, and Tim, you were just at OmegaCon.
I was just at OmegaCon Spring.
Yep. And Nick is here.
You guys weren't there.
I'm here.
Nick is here. We didn't go to Omega Spring this year because I had an important goat date. A date with goats.
Yeah.
And it was amazing. Okay. And it was worth great. It. But I was thinking we could talk about kind of what our favorite games are of the moment, and then I know
gaming boners.
This could be gaming boners.
Kind of a boner thing.
Gaming the boner system, as it were. Yeah. And then I know Hack, because you actually already answered our 5 questions back in the day.
I did.
And so that means you get to give us 5 questions.
Way back in the dawn
of Geeks Without God.
And I'm guessing it's going to take a while because you're a writer, and that means you probably wrote good questions. So
I hope so.
All right. Okay. So let's talk about our favorite games first. And I'm going to have Tim start because he was in OmegaCon.
Okay, so the game that I played a lot at OmegaCon, I played several new games, but the one I ended up playing a lot was a game called Takedo, which is really kind of cool. It's
Everhart posted that? Yeah. Because a lot of people were...
Yeah, a lot of people played it, and I ended up, because I learned it early in the weekend, so I ended up playing it a lot because I had to teach everybody how to play it.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So you're walking through Japan. It's from Kyoto to Tokyo, I think.
Okay. Old capital to new capital.
Yeah, and the basic idea is the goal of the game, which is kind of cool, is to enjoy yourself as much as possible. You're trying to have the most relaxing walk possible.
And leave it to the Japanese to micromanage your
so that what you do is you meet strangers along the road, and that's good for you, and you stop in villages and you pick up souvenirs in the shops, and you can bathe in the hot springs.
Oh.
And you can donate money at temples. It's always a good idea to donate money at temples in Japan.
Of course.
Also you can stop and appreciate panoramas. And you also need to stop and eat. And the eating part is very important because you need to eat something different every time. Because you're not really enjoying the Japanese countryside if you're eating the same food.
You hear that, autistic people? You're not having fun.
No. Once you have...
Are your points measured in enjoyment and experiences?
Basically, yes. You're enjoying things that you're enjoying, souvenirs that you're purchasing. It's all worth points. And the movement mechanic is really kind of cool because you can move your piece as far as you want on the board. But whoever is in last place goes next. Which means if you jump too far ahead from all the other players, you're going to have to wait for all of them.
You might lose several turns in that sense because...
Huh. Yeah, but
that's
maybe...
That's really... Because you can't rush pleasure.
Exactly.
Yeah.
You can't rush a vacation.
The whole point is to take your time. And
it's a leisurely game.
It is a leisurely
I really
want to
play this game.
And people know how to play, the game probably takes about an hour.
Okay.
Given that the last game I played was with... 5 drunk people, you can learn it drunk. So,
it's also a gorgeous game.
Yes. Yeah. Oh, yeah, the art's beautiful. Really beautiful. The panoramas, you have to stop at various stations to pick up the panoramas, and you gather cards until you've got the panoramas spread out in front of you.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah. So
I like that. That sounds really neat.
Who makes it?
You know, I don't. I will link to it in the. I'm definitely picking it up because it's a easy game, easy rules to learn. I'm sure that my kids would play it.
Oh yeah.
Play it well, so I did play. Also, I played Forbidden Forbidden Desert.
Oh, the sequel to Forbidden Island. Yeah, we haven't played it yet.
Yeah, if you played Forbidden Island, Forbidden Desert kind of ups the ante. I only did play it once, and what I discovered is that we played it completely wrong.
Oh!
So we got buried in sand and lost. But apparently it would have been easier to have not been buried in sand and lost.
I've found that Island is, if you play it, because you can start... You can play like with different difficulty levels, which I really appreciate that about any game, especially a co-op us versus the game. And but easy for Forbidden Island is like way too fucking easy.
Yeah, you gotta, you're
playing with kids.
If you understand game theory at all,
once you've played Forbidden Island like once or twice, you need to make it more difficult.
If you're playing with people who are willing to cooperate as a team,
yes,
easy is way too easy.
Yeah.
Forbidden Desert is a tougher game. The mechanic is tougher. I won't try and explain it too much, but it's if you like Forbidden Island, I think you'll like Forbidden Desert better.
Cool.
When I watched it played properly, I just never got around to playing it again. Mm-hmm. I also did finally get to play Resistance.
Isn't that a great game?
Yeah, it was a really good game. And I was upset because they dealt out the spy cards and then everybody did it wrong and I was a spy.
Oh,
like, sweet! I get to be a spy. And then they did it wrong, so we had to redeal, and I wasn't a spy. And
you made a very good blog post about playing Resistance with drunk people. which boils down to don't.
The best part of that is, if I play this card, will people know I'm a spy? Deal them out.
Yeah.
So I played a lot of games. I've played a lot. I played Seven Wonders a whole bunch.
Yeah.
I played Legendary a whole bunch.
Love that game.
My only frustration about Legendary this weekend was it kept being a teaching game. We kept having new people
want
to play. And I totally wanted to get a game with a bunch of experts and like go up against Galactus with some really tough villains in the deck.
Have you played with the both expansions?
I've got both expansions and I've played with parts of it.
The third one's coming out soon.
What's the third one?
I think it's Spider-Man.
Oh, I think it's out.
Or maybe it's out.
Yeah,
okay.
It might be. I'll check the GC. But
it's just cards. It's just more cards.
I'm good with more cards.
Yeah.
But when you're playing with new people, you want to play with a slightly easier scheme.
Yeah, for sure. Mm-hmm.
And you usually play with slightly easier villains.
Yeah, break out of the raft or something.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I really wanted to do like one of the Galactus is a super wicked hard villain.
Sure. Yeah.
And you got to play with the Heralds of Galactus, which are super super wicked hard villains. Yeah. So it would have been super fun to get some people that totally knew how to play the game to go in there and do like a high level, high stakes game, but I love playing Legendary no matter what the level is.
I could sit down and play Legendary all day. I wouldn't have a problem with that if it was the right group of people.
Yeah,
just
absolutely.
Different combinations and stuff.
Absolutely.
Me and the guys I play D&D with did that. I brought it over one night. I'm like, let's play Legendary, and we just played it four times.
Yeah.
My kids like playing different games, so I get to play it at home about once a month, which is not enough.
Yeah, right.
All right, that's great. That was a good Megacon roundup. Andrew, what about you?
So, I'm playing a couple of board games on my iPad with friends.
Cool. Oh, sweet. Oh, fun.
Because it means we don't have to move all the little pieces around.
Yeah.
Cleanup
is a breeze. The biggest one we've been playing lately is Quirkle.
Which came out on
iOS.
I've never played Quirkle.
It's got a bunch of tiles with colored shapes on them, and you're trying to make lines of the same color or the same shape.
Okay, I saw people playing that at Omega Con too. Yeah,
and a line of six is called a Quirkle, which scores you 12 points.
Yeah,
and
it's a bit of a sore spot at my work because it's very similar to Ingenious, and Quirkle made a lot more money.
Aww,
so
man.
I think, but it's just more like it's not
Ingenious for iOS.
No, it's not just a. It's not just like a. It's not like that. It's just it's just more like Quirkle, you know, like kind
sure,
of a,
sure,
grrr,
yes.
you know.
So, but it's also a very quick game.
Yeah.
So it's the kind of thing that we can play during breaks and finish a game in a work day. Lots of Lords of Waterdeep.
Oh, yeah.
I still have yet to play that.
I haven't played that.
Oh, you guys. Oh,
it's D&D Risk, right? I mean...
No,
that's the other one. That's
Ravencroft.
That's Legend of Nerath.
Lords of Waterdeep is a resource management game.
Okay.
Oh. Worker placement, resource management.
More like
Puerto Rico?
Or
more
Discworld?
Okay.
Yeah.
You mean
Small
World?
It's
No. The Discworld, Terry Pratchett.
Oh.
Yeah, I haven't played that one. But Waterdeep is... it's I did not get to play that early.
But that's on iOS?
Yes, it is.
That might be worth...
And half of the first expansion is on there because it's actually two expansions shoved into one box. Mm-hmm. So they're releasing those separately. On a board, I'm going to pimp my own company for a minute. The game that I'm really into is Castellan.
Castellan.
It's a castle building game, which is basically the squares game on graph paper, except you have cards that tell you which pieces you can play.
Mm-hmm. Awesome.
So sometimes you've got something in mind that you can't play because you don't have the right cards yet.
It's got these big, gorgeous wooden pieces that are super neat.
Oh. They're plastic, not wood.
Are they? I thought they were wooden.
We had a prototype that was
wood. That's okay, yeah.
But the plastic ones interlock and scratch the Lego itch on top of the game itch. And two-player game is usually 20 to 30 minutes.
So, it's nice.
I think the one I saw was at the either Alliance or ACD open house when Steve was actually there.
Yeah,
and that had the wooden prototype.
We decided they had to interlock when somebody bumped his table and he lost a game he was winning handily.
So. Probably got to be writing these games.
Yeah, right.
So that's a really good.
One I have not gotten to play yet, but I know it's awesome because all the other games they do is awesome. Is Fireside Games Dead Panic, which is the if you've played Castle Panic, the cooperative tower defense game.
Yeah.
Dead Panic is cooperative. Cabin in the woods defending from zombies. But it adds characters and items you're collecting, and your goal is not just to survive, it's to escape the cabin and escape the woods.
Wow. Huh.
That's pretty cool.
My kids would probably my younger would probably freak out. Not like that game that much.
Oh, is he scared of zombies right now?
He's not a big horror fan.
Yeah, he's still pretty little though for horror. Like he's a younger dude. I was really into horror at like 7, but like that's pretty rare. You know, most kids
I
was a very weird child. That's really cool. Do you guys have, are there a lot of games that you guys are playing at the office or that you see people playing, or do you guys just not really have a lot of time?
We do some game playing. We've got two game dates every year where the only rule is we don't play our own games.
Oh, that's cool.
So we all bring in games from home and play different things. And most of the people who work there are a gamer of some stripe, and there's tons of game stores in Austin, so we'll go to game nights and play things.
Very cool.
When we're not so burned out that we just go home and go to sleep.
See, and that's the thing is we've got so many board games that are still in the shrink wrap because I'm too tired to play board games now. Like I've been thinking about board games all day. I'm just kind of.
We have a new dining room table and our house is in a state where we could potentially host for gaming. Good. So that we might get in more of that.
Well, when we do that, what game do you want to play, Nick? What's your
game? I'll tell you what game I don't want to play that I played recently.
Okay.
Zombicide.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
I don't know that one.
It's building a predetermined map. Zombies spawn in. Your goal is to... you're going to have cards that kind of tell you what you... Oh, this time we have to go... explore at least 6 rooms, and we need to get a can of food and a can opener and a stick of dynamite and get to the exit.
Okay.
And it's going to be different, every scenario. One of the guys I played D&D with, he kickstarted it, and to, like, the max level where he got all these extra figures and tons and tons of extra shit, just a lot of it.
Mm-hmm.
And I think... The character cards that you get are neat because it's like, it's clearly Bruce Willis from Die Hard, but he has a different name.
Sure.
And then, you're clearly Tallahassee from...
Zombieland.
And all these characters that you immediately recognize that are just drawn just differently enough where they're not going to get sued and have a different name.
Mm-hmm.
Falling Down... The guy who snaps.
Yeah.
He's awesome. One of the characters. Like
That's funny.
It's not just horror movie characters. It's a lot of action movie characters. But either we were playing the game wrong, or sometimes it's entirely possible for that game to just fuck you at the very beginning. And it's just like, well, you're going to lose over the next hour and a half.
Oh, you don't want to be a pussy and be like, let's restart you guys because this is dumb.
There's totally points in the game where your loss has, or win for that matter, is determined. And it's just a matter of going through the actions and doing it until you get there.
I gotcha.
The way the zombies spawn in, it's incredibly difficult. If you're out of regular little walking zombies, you have to start spawning in runners that can move up to like 28 days later zombies.
Okay, yeah.
And the big beefy guys, which are, you know, monster-y kind of Resident Evil guys, which can only be killed by making Molotov cocktails or finding, which there are only two of in the entire deck. And two ingredients to put them together, or the one stick of dynamite, which is conditional to find.
Which you might need in order to escape
and win,
so you can't spend it.
So you literally can't fight them, because they have like a damage threshold, and most weapons only do up to 2 damage, and you have to do at least 3 to do even 1 point of damage to them.
Oh, man.
So you could fire a billion revolver shots on them, they'd never die.
Yeah.
So that's when you sacrifice Otis to get away.
Exactly. But it's... I don't know. Maybe we were playing it wrong. That's entirely possible. Yeah. But I just...
Wasn't fun?
No, it really wasn't.
We have a lot of games we need to play that are good. Like, there's some games coming up that I'm excited to buy, but specifically, and I can't talk about it much, someone's going to talk about it. It's the only game I've played in the last 2 months is The Witcher, which is the adventure game that we're putting out.
Based
on the video game franchise. It's coming out this year, and it's really fun. It's an adventure. I love it, but I also will admit that I like games that a lot of other, like, crunchy gamers think are a little too simple or a little too, you know, whatever. But, like, I love it. It's a four-player adventure game. You know, not roll and move, but, like, you decide where you're going. And you have quests and side quests. And it's, you know, and there's... Each of you has different powers, and you know my coworker Andy, who has played the Witcher games a lot, is very pleased, and you know he can tell that it's good representation. So I'm excited for that. It was really fun, and I think that's going to do well.
It's cooperative at all, or is it?
No. Well, so it's cooperative in the sense that sometimes when your side quests or your support quests, your support quest is someone has to help you. So if my support quest is like. Is I have to go to this one spot on the board. It's not me that has to go there. You have to go there, and I have to say, like, Nick, I need someone to go to, you know, whatever, I can't remember the names of any of them.
Yeah.
You know, Broxton, can you please go there? And you'll say, I will go there for you, and you'll use one of your actions, you know, whatever, to go there, and then that will earns you victory points, and it earns me victory points, but you get them right away, and I get them later.
Oh,
so there's a little bit of cooperation, but really, you're out to win. So
could potentially fuck someone over, be like, no, you're too close to winning. Yes. I'm not going to go
absolutely.
There.
Don't be a kingmaker was said several times during the course of the game.
Any game where that phrase comes up is probably a good time.
And then other than that, I've just been like desperate to get together and play Star Wars role playing, but it's just never happened yet. So I don't know. Someday.
That would be fun. I haven't done role playing in a long time.
Yeah, so. it would be fun. But anyway, well, that was games. That was a lot of fun. Thanks guys for that. And if you guys have any games that you've been playing lately that you want to tell us about, please post in the comments. We'd love to hear what you guys are geeking out on. But I think it's time to get on to the 5 questions from Andrew Hackard.
Yes, absolutely.
All right.
Yeah.
Hit us up.
Question number 1. What widely loved or admired movie or TV show have you not seen and have no intention of seeing?
Ooh.
Wow.
Ooh. Widely, you know what? I'm going to say Once Upon a Time and Grimm, which are wildly popular among my friends right now, both at work and personally. And everyone's telling me how great it is, and everyone's like, you really need to watch it. And I feel like I've already read Fables, and so the only thing I'm going to be thinking the whole time is, this is not Fables and it's bad.
Movie or shows?
Either.
He's like, okay, movie or shows, yep.
Yeah.
So that's my answer.
You know, for me, when I think about movies... probably, I'm not a big horror movie fan, so most of the classic, really well-known horror movies, especially like the 70s and 80s stuff, The Evil Deads, Night of the Living Dead, Halloween, I haven't seen those movies, and I'm not saying
you haven't
that
seen any of the Evil Dead movies?
I've actually seen the third one.
Army of Darkness.
But okay. I haven't seen Evil Dead or Evil Dead. Yeah, I know, that one's not horror, really that scary.
Right.
But... Those movies don't interest me. I mean, when I've watched good horror movies, I've been like, that's a good horror movie. And kind of been like, and I don't really need to ever
Except
see
for Cabin in the Woods, which you fucking loved.
Cabin in the Woods was fucking amazing, but it was more than just a horror movie.
Awesome. Yeah, yeah.
So any of those movies, I might end up seeing them, but I'm never going to go out of my way to see them.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Boy, that's tough. Because there are some classic movies that are missing from like AFI 100, you know, type stuff that I'm missing that I'd like to, but I don't know. I'm gonna go with Molly's answer and Grimm and Once Upon a Time. Yeah. Like I've got Fables. I'm playing the Fables, the Wolf Among Us game, the Telltale game. And it's such a great companion to the comics. And the comics are ending soon.
Which is exciting.
I'm so glad when things have endings, you know.
I'll keep that in mind.
I mean, just that it's not going to go on forever and get tired. Like, there's an end point in the storyline. It's Fables. At some point, they have to say, and they lived happily ever after, or something like that. Something, So, Once Upon a Time and Grimm, I just don't really have any interest.
I have heard Grimm is better than Once Upon a Time. Like, yeah. I have heard people say that Grimm is different and has its own kind of neat lore, because it's more based on Grimm's fairy tales and, like, it's almost like a Buffy thing.
Oh, sure.
Where, like, if you're
isn't
Grimm...
Isn't it like a detective's show?
It's like, so, like, it's a lot like the Wolf Among Us from what it sounds like. So there's... Oh. I might sometime watch Grimm, but never Once Upon a Time.
I gotta change my answer.
Oh.
Fuck Smallville.
Smallville.
Oh. And Arrow, I mean, apparently Arrow is getting good right now, but I'm not going to watch a Green Arrow television show that has nothing to do with
Marvel.
Green Arrow. DC.
Yeah.
So it has nothing to do with the comic or continuity or the cinematic universe that they're flailing to make. I just, sorry, DC.
You put an extra L in that word.
DC. DC flailing.
Love
my movies. Just reboot it. That's what we always do.
We can reboot Superman 5 or 6 more times. We'll get it right one of these days.
Eventually,
everything.
Yeah. Awesome.
Number two?
Yes.
All right. Who is your favorite religious character in the sense that their religion is actually important to that character's life?
Fuck me.
So... Mm-hmm. My example for that one would be Kira Nerys. Mm-hmm. Her belief in the prophets is very important to her character and drives a lot of the stories that she's in.
Mm-hmm. I'm going to think about this a second. Because my knee-jerk reaction is to say Scully. But I don't think that... Well, I think her faith is important to her as a character. I don't think it really drives why I like her. It's not... Mm. That's not, you know, the part of her that I find to be...
For people to know, Scully from...
X-Files.
Right.
Scully from X-Files.
I am perfectly willing to accept Scully as an answer.
Yeah, I know. I'm still thinking if I can think of something else. But if anyone else, go ahead.
Can I pick a god?
Sure.
Does that count?
If they believe in themselves?
I think Om from Small Gods, the Terry Pratchett. It's technically a Discworld book. They are and his believer in that book. I think Om is great. It's fun to read something from a perspective of a god.
Idiot.
What?
Roland Deschaine.
Oh, yeah.
Who is, from the Dark Tower, who has unshaking faith in the tower and the beams and Ka and the whole religion
Is it a religion if he has evidence of it, if he has seen proof, if there's...
Kira has met the prophet. Yeah,
yeah. Yours is a god.
Fair enough.
I don't know. Yeah, I'm going Roland.
I'm going to go just because, you know, whenever you don't have a really good answer, it's nice to go for your safe, warm, comfy spot. So Henry Jones Sr. Would probably be
the one I figured,
I like that character, and clearly he has faith and, you know, not misplaced since the Holy Grail is real and everything.
Right. Yeah.
So cool. That'll
work. All right.
So, number three, what mundane hobby has earned you scorn from fellow geeks?
This is good questions.
So
bizarro world.
For instance, I'm super into college football. Mostly the Texas Longhorns.
Yeah.
Sure.
Living in Austin. Okay.
Go
Longhorns.
Do that?
Go Longhorns.
Okay.
Longhorns! Like Bobby in King of the Hill. Mundane hobby. You know what? Earned me scorn. I don't think distance running counts as a mundane hobby. But I mean, yeah.
And scorn may be a very strong
word. No. I know what you mean, though. Yeah, I mean, that's probably the... But I don't get it. I mean, that's probably the one I get people most saying, like, that's stupid
what, you're doing
or crazy.
That?
Yeah.
What?
Yeah.
Boy, that's a tough one.
I got one. It's not really mundane.
Mm-hmm.
But because I have an axe to grind about this sometimes. It's actually being an entertainer at a Renaissance festival. If you are involved in theater in the Twin Cities and you're involved in a Renaissance festival and you talk about the Renaissance festival as performing experience, that doesn't go anywhere.
Oh yeah, they think you're
just a hack who doesn't have any performing skills. And even if you can sit there and go, well, I can name this person and this person and this person who are very successful on the Twin Cities theater team scene that cut their teeth at a Renaissance festival, that doesn't matter until you cut your teeth on an actual stage.
Yeah,
a lot of people really don't view it as the same thing. That's a really good point. So while it's not mundane,
no,
so
it's
much
the least of
it's very much looked down upon. And you really need to cut through that negative impression that people have.
That's true.
I think your answer is way better than my question was.
Oh, well, thank you.
I think for me, I'm a bit of a pack rat for cables and chargers and cords and,
That's pretty geeky, though.
Hard drives. Yeah, but there's nothing geeky about hanging on to, like, I don't know, like a 12-foot USB cable, because the 9-foot one I have isn't going to be long enough, maybe.
Yeah.
And I don't know, like, even chargers and transformers and stuff for, like, a shitty old portable television that I don't have anymore. I mean, when we went through and cleaned our house and redid the office and stuff, I threw it all, I organized it all into Tupperware bins, color-coded Velcro wraps around so all the power cords are red and all the network cables or communication cables are blue and device cables are yellow and so on. And so I like that stuff and I like that level of organization for those things. And and I wrap cables with counter loops so that your cables don't tangle when they get wrapped. And when I say to people, you're wrapping that cable wrong, here, let me show you how to do that. And I do it with cable with counter loops in, the response I typically get is, what's the fucking point? What does it matter? It's just a cable. I don't know. I care about it in
you're,
a way
you're
that...
You're anal about your cables.
I am.
That totally works.
Anal cables. So, like coming out of your butt.
Next question.
Yes.
Number four. What is your comfort food? The one you turn to when everything is crappy and you need a culinary security blanket?
Yeah, you know, it's boring, but man, do I love potato chips so much. And
boring is fine if it's what...
I shouldn't eat them nearly as often as I do, but God, I really love just about every single kind of potato chip there is.
I concur with that. I'm with you on that. But I for a long time, potato chips and dip specifically was what I would eat, like, top of the tater, like, just like I would go and get like a bag of potato chips and a thing of top of the tater, and that would be my lunch.
If I touched them, she'd slap my hand.
Yeah.
They were yours.
Yeah, they were mine. I think cereal for me, which, you know, when I was a kid, because we didn't get to, especially sugar cereal, because we never got to have it when I was a kid at all. And so, like, when I went to college, it was like it was one of the first things that I did that was like, I do what I want, like, I'm an adult. And so, like, it still makes me feel like...
That is such awesome rebellion.
I know, right? Yeah. It still makes me feel like, ooh, like, I'm being bad, which is, like, for me, that's
comfort
food.
I'm staying up until midnight.
Yeah. No one controls me.
My answer is so... Like, ridiculously, like, if I were to tell my answer and why to a psychology student, they'd be like, oh, very interesting. Like, you have complicated feelings about your father. Because it's tomato soup and grilled cheese sandwiches, and the memory that instantly gets associated with that is when I was a kid and my mom used to do daycare in our house, like, specifically kindergarten when I was, like, a half day, my dad would come home from work, and we would play Legos together in my room and eat tomato soup and grilled cheese sandwiches and dip the sandwiches in the soup and play with Legos. And it's just like a very specific memory I have. I don't have a lot of like super positive memories about my dad from when I was a kid. Most of the stuff that sticks out is from when he was like kind of drunk. So like it's obvious to me why that's like a comfort food thing for me in that, you know, psychology 101 kind of way, but also they're fucking delicious. So
I would have answered mashed potatoes, but I feel like that's not necessary. I mean, that's not so much a comfort food as it is like that's what I eat when it's like I need to eat something delicious and that will fill me up.
No
and
effort
yeah, yeah,
yeah. For me, it's that kind of food is a salad.
Make a wicked salad.
I do make a wicked salad, and I'll eat like 3 or 4 of those a week because I love them a lot.
Yeah.
But I don't know if I consider it comfort
food. Right, right.
See, and for me, from Texas, I go with chicken fried steak, chicken fried chicken.
Oh, sure, sure.
Yeah.
Smothered in gravy and biscuits. Well, it has to be, that's
mashed potatoes.
Yep.
Some other side, green beans or something.
So it's just breaded steak that's fried, right?
Yes. It's just like, chicken fried because it's you
like
do the
way
flour,
you fry fried chicken, it's but exactly, to a steak.
Yes.
Or a chicken breast.
But fried chicken is different from fried chicken.
Right.
Which is what
fried chicken's
really
on the bone, and chicken fried chicken is a chicken breast.
Yeah. I guess.
And fried chicken is not typically doused in cream gravy the way chicken
fried chicken is. Right, you would just eat that out of a bucket.
Boy.
Yeah.
It's really complicated.
We didn't need a lot of fried food when I was a kid, so I don't know what's...
Come to Austin, we'll educate you.
There's a lot of fried food in Austin.
Leave in a coffin.
So, number 5, what aspect of organized religion would you like to see atheists adopt as their own?
Wow, that's a good question. It's right there in the name, organized.
Yeah.
You know, the way a religion can get a whole bunch of people to do what they want. Mm-hmm. You know, if a pastor stands up in a mega church and says that he wants his entire flock to donate money, they all just fucking do it.
Most, I would say probably like an 80% success rate with that, yeah.
If he stands up and says, you know what, next week our entire church is going to go out and build houses for Habitat for Humanity for God, he'll get his, you know, of the 2,000 people at his church, he'll probably get half of those. He'll probably get 1,000 of them to show up 50. And build 5 houses.
And if he says, I want everyone in this congregation to vote against same-sex marriage, they will vote against it.
Yeah.
And they'll donate money against it. And there is something very powerful in that ability for a charismatic leader to get their followers to do what they want. And it's the thing that I object to about religion the most, which is that religion is all about somebody standing up in front of people and getting them to believe what he or she believes and has nothing to do with getting them to believe what God believes, if there is a God.
There's nothing stopping all the good things that religion does, and it does do good things. There's nothing that needs to be religious in motivation. Yeah. All the things that religion is capable of doing that are good can be done without religion.
Absolutely.
And
yes.
It's not necessary. But if I were to pick one specific thing, I think operating as like a community center or meeting place or...
refuge.
Yeah, kind of. I mean, community center, kind of a community space building, that sort of thing.
The thing that I like about that is also there's accountability. You go back and they say, did you do these things that you were supposed to have done? And if not, they say, well, here's how you can do better. Here's how you can fix it next time.
I would say for me, it's mission trips, actually. I think that the unfortunate fact is that the people who are going out to third world countries and digging wells and building houses and, you know, doing mosquito nets and all that stuff are also passing out Bibles and making a whole new league of Christian and who wouldn't become a Christian if Christians came to your village and saved your brother and dug your wells and all that stuff.
Point, Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation.
Okay, but the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation isn't going out and saying specifically, there's no God. It's okay to not believe in God.
They're
and
secular,
that's what I mean.
Not atheists.
Right.
Yeah, yeah.
That's what I mean is if a group of atheists came, imagine that same village, but a group of atheists comes and they are digging wells, whatever, and if someone says, like, did God send you? And you say, nope, I came because I wanted to help. I don't believe there is a God.
And because you can do this for yourself.
Yeah. Not come and say there's no God, you're all wrong, but to say, I don't believe in God. I believe in people. And I'm going to show you what I mean. And like, and that kind of thing. Mm. I think that would be great, but it's really hard to organize that without ending up it just being like a secular thing not...
The thing is, there's, no matter what your denomination might be in the United States, there are There's an established infrastructure in place for missions.
There's a nonprofit that can help you out. Yeah.
If you're a Mormon and you want to go on a mission to Africa, you're going to have no trouble.
Yep. Even the Grace Church has all kinds of mission trips every year that they send people. Like, I could walk into Grace Church, I bet, and if Nick and I said, we want to go live in Rwanda and help rape victims, they'd be like, sure, we'll help you buy your plane tickets and sponsor it. Exactly. And I just think that's one of the things that I think would be great is if we could be not just doing secular good works, but specifically saying, I don't believe in God, and you don't have to either. is the thing.
Evangelizing a little bit.
Evangelizing a little bit, yeah.
Yeah.
Molly has called us to action.
Yes, yes.
The call to action here on Geeks Without God.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much.
I had a great time. Thank you. It's good.
Yeah.
Good to be here.
I realized in the car, so we're in the car, we pick up Andrew at the hotel, we're in the car, and all of a sudden Nick goes, hi, by the way, I'm Nick, and they shake hands, and I'm like, oh shit, have you guys not met? And it's just, and then Tim too, it's like we get here, and he's like meeting you, and it's just, because of the podcast, there's, you know, people kind of know us, but not met us, kind of a thing, and then also, since he's my cousin, but I don't see him much, I always just assume, you know,
But Hack and I have tweeted back and forth.
Sure.
You hadn't met.
And like, typed at each other on Facebook. But yeah, it's not
still,
the same
it's the same, yeah.
Hi, here's person.
This is what my face looks like. Yeah. You're looking at my human body and skin.
I am in your basement.
I am in your basement with my human body.
It's right next door to Tim's sex dungeon. Yep.
It's a really small one.
Wait, this isn't the sex dungeon?
The second podcast?
No, the sex dungeon's in the closet right over there.
Oh my God, what do you do in this fucking room? My God. All right. Well, thank you, everybody. We've been Geeks Without God. You have been the audience. We've been wonderful. And you can follow us on Twitter, Geeks Without God. Like us on Facebook. Rate us on iTunes. Please, we all would love your comments. By the way, like, I don't get comment notifications in my email, and Tim and Nick do. So if you're commenting at me and I'm not replying, it's not that I don't like you or don't think your comment has value. I haven't read it, so I'm trying to be more on that, but I feel bad when I'll go and be like, oh, someone addressed me 7 weeks ago.
The alert goes out to the catch-all address. I don't know.
It's weird. All right, anyway, please, by all means, send us your answers to our 5 questions, not Andrew's. You can do that at 5questions@geeksithoutgod.com. Thank you, and we'll see you next time.
Bye.
Bye.
Gunther, bring me the head of the Munchkin Tsar.
We're geeks without God. We don't recognize moral authority. We don't accept divine superiority. We're geeks without God.
Need more Geeks Without God? Go to our website, read our blog posts, find us on Facebook, or follow us on Twitter @GeeksWithoutGod. Social media!
We're geeks without God. We're geeks without God. We're geeks without God.
I'd like to get more comments from religious assholes to
argue with.
Yeah, to argue with.